All right. Well, Father God, we just love you. We praise you, Lord. Glory be to God. It's just such an awesome time that you've gotten us in. We thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. And we thank you for making us victorious all the time that we walk in your name, Lord. We pray and declare right now, Deuteronomy 28, and the Lord will cause our enemies, what? Those who rise up against us, be defeated before our face. They shall come against us one way and flee before us that way, Lord and God. And that's the way we have it. That's the way, the only way we want it. The devil is on the flight. He's gone from us in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that when we walk in great humbleness to you, and the devil's got to go. He is defeated, has been defeated, and will not come against us anymore in Jesus' name. We walk in divine health. We talk like Jesus. We act like Jesus, and we are Jesus in the flesh because your word says it. We praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Father, for being our God, for your grace and your mercy upon us. We praise you, Father, that we, every one of us, walk in victory when we walk in this life, and we praise you for it, Father, that everywhere we go, the kingdom of heaven comes down around us in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God, and we praise you, Father, that we do. We just thank you and praise you all the time, Lord. We thank you for the breath that you have given us. We thank you, Father, for our eyesight. We thank you, Father, that every morning we're able to get up out of bed by ourselves, and we praise you, Father, that we're not only that, we're able to speak Jesus wherever and anywhere we go in Jesus' name to any and everybody that wants to listen. And I thank you for it, Father. And I praise you, Father, that tonight we're going to have an awesome time in you. And that's because everybody here is in one accord. And when we're in one accord, everything around us shakes. Glory to God, glory to God. And we praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for this open heaven that you've given us. It is an open heaven, completely open, because we know when we pray, and we pray in faith, our prayers are answered. Every one of them. Every one of them, in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, that you're going to tax our faith in you and our trust in you by believing for the unbelievable things that we think that are before us. We thank you, Father, for the faith to move those big mountains out the way in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the missionaries overseas that are being fed, even as we speak right now, supernaturally, in the name of Jesus, and provisions given to them and the protection given to them. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you so much, Lord. You know, how many of you know that when we're in the middle of the battle, that we got the best sword of all? Glory to God. And we got the sword that beats the enemy every time, whacks his head off completely right in front of us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Somebody needs to shout, glory to God, because I'm telling you what, we got the devil on the run. He's got to go, in Jesus' name. He's got to go, glory to God. He ain't got no other choice. We have dominion. Not only that, we have authority over all the power of the enemy, glory to God. And I thank you for it, Father. And I praise you, Father, that this group right here walks in victory every day. We get up with nothing but victory on our mind and on our lips and in our eyes and in our hear, in our ears and on our lips. We thank you for it, Father, that victory is the only way we walk because you are in us. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And we're filled with the Holy Ghost too. He leads us and teaches us the whole way. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. You've given us the greatest gift of mankind could ever have. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. L-U-V, love. Glory to God. That's what Jesus is. He is L-U-V, love. Praise God forevermore. That's how you work faith. Remember Katie's testimony? Faith, that love. That love brings that faith right on in, man. I'm going to tell you something. Things happen when you have that faith. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
The next door neighbor got a new puppy, and I didn't know, but they had the pup for about a week, and we were out doing leaves, and Fudge ran over, and I saw that they had a new pup, so I went over and I was playing with it, and it was Fudge and him were playing, and I'm not sure why Fudge did this, but she's, after a little while, the puppy just went to play and play and play. And usually Fudge is like that. And so she wanted to snap and really snarl at the pup a couple times. And I just disciplined her a little too harshly, I think, for doing that. And but I just want to pray about that. Father, forgive me for doing that. And I forbid a spirit of jealousy upon Fudge, that she will no longer do this with the pup, that she will, if she's had enough of the pup, that she'll just walk away. But in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Father, that they're going to be two good playmates, Lord,
Amen.
and they're going to have a good time playing, and no jealousy on either one's part. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for putting that in Fudge. And the little
Amen.
puppy, too.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now that we got the animals taken care of. You remember that parakeet, Missy, which one was Corbin had, I believe? No. Just not Justin, what's the oldest, the youngest one's name? Anyway, he
Nathan.
had, Nathan had, and it was a bad parakeet in the name. No, it's a dog. It's a dog. It was an animal.
It was a pair. It was a bird. It was a mean bird,
Okay.
and they prayed over it. Yeah, you're right.
Right over it, and it settled down, didn't it?
Yeah, it was like a difference in night and day.
Yeah, amen.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, anybody else got a prayer request? Can I pray? I want to pray for everybody in the name of Jesus right now. We prayed this while ago, just three of us did, four of us did. I want to pray for everybody in the name of Jesus right now. I command all distractions of the enemy out of our lives in Jesus' name. Every one of them. Go from us right now. We don't have anything but Jesus on our mind, and we don't want nothing else in there in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, for doing that for us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for leading us away from distractions all the time. Anything that catches our eye, Lord, you put something ahead of it and show us that no, you need to come to me, and I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that in the morning when we get up, we start praising you, glorifying you, and coming to you right then, Lord, and asking you to lead us the rest of the day. And I thank you, Father, that I know that you're going to do it in Jesus' name. Distractions go from us right now in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for putting our minds solidly, solidly in the Word and staying in the Word. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Anybody else? I got a testimony. Praise report, maybe. Testimony and a praise report. Man, I was out today and I was walking. Nice day. A little chilly-fied, but I could get over that. I could put clothes on. A bunch of clothes on, anyway. I was out walking over at Fort Loudoun, and this same place, I've hit this little old stump that sticks up. It's underneath the leaves, but I hit it. I'm not going to hit it now another time anymore. But anyway, I hit it. Last time I hit it, I skinned up my arms and I was running down through there and I hit it and I went face first down in the gravel and stuff and it hurt. Oh, I'm telling you, it hurt. They were pain. Glory to God, they were pain. Anyway, I made it over that. But anyway, that was months ago. And then I was walking today and I walked through there and I stopped my toe on that same little old stump. And it pain hit me, and I said, nope, in the name of Jesus, I command it to go. In Jesus' name, I'm not going to. This pain is gone. And I went, it goes down into a little gully like that to come back up. By the time I got back up on that little uprise, it was gone. Man, I was walking good. Thank you, Jesus, for it. I thank you, Father, for your obedience, your pain-killing attributes, Father, in Jesus' name. And I was just looking at it. It's not even bruised. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for doing that for me. I'm going to have to talk to my angel about allowing me to stomp my toe. I'm going to have to talk to him about that. All right. Anyone else got a testimony or a prayer or anything like that? I'll tell you what I want to do, if it's okay with everybody. You remember Katie's testimony the other day. I've got something similar about LUV that I would like to read you from Kenneth Hagin. Is that okay with everybody? Okay. All right. He says, love, the way to make your faith work. That's the title of it. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Galatians 5:6, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans 5:5. Both faith and love are of the heart. Notice the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is not shed abroad in our heads. If you let your head dominate you, you're going to be in trouble. Also, the Bible doesn't say the love of God is shed abroad in our bodies by the Holy Ghost. No, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We know from Galatians 5:6 that faith works by love. Faith is also of the heart, not of the head. Many people get into trouble in their faith walk because they don't understand that. Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head. But, you see, if people don't know that, if people are going by their heads and doubts begin to arise in their minds, they'll think they're in doubt and unbelief. But you can have faith in your heart with doubt in your head. Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, you see that? Confession is made unto salvation. It's with the heart that man believes, not with the head. Faith is of the heart. Faith, and faith works by love, God's love. The God kind of love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We didn't have that love until God gave it to us, and faith works by this kind of love. The problem with many people is they try to substitute natural human love for divine love or the God kind of love. But the two's not the same. Natural human love can turn to hatred overnight, but divine love will not. Let's look at Mark 11:23-25 in relation to faith working by the God kind of love. Mark 11:23-24. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye received them, and ye shall have them. Most Christians rejoice over Mark 11:23-24, and I personally thank God for these verses of Scripture because they brought me off a deathbed almost 60 years ago. But let's read a little further in verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. if you have ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 25 is as much a part of the Bible as Mark 11, 23, and 24. And notice the conjunction and at the beginning of verse 25. The word and joins what Jesus said previously in verses 23 and 24, that you can have what you say if you believe it in your heart, to what he said in verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. Faith works by love, and divine love forgives. Some folks say, I just can't forgive so-and-so, but the God kind of love can forgive. Really, if a believer says, I just can't forgive, he's letting his head or flesh dominate him, because the love of God has been shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost, Romans 5 and 5. And love forgives. Actually, the Bible says we as Christians can forgive just as God forgave us. Ephesians 4 and 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He said, I remember a woman in one of the churches I pastored who was an example of someone letting the flesh dominate instead of walking in love. My wife and I had just accepted the pastorate of this church as we were moving into the parsonage. This woman came over and began talking to us. This woman said, now, Brother Hagin, I know you're going to hear about this, so I want to tell you firsthand myself. Hagin says, you better watch those folks who always want to give you firsthand information. That firsthand information is usually slanted in their favor. She continued, I just wanted to tell you how old sister so-and-so treated me. I listened to the woman for a while, but finally I stopped her and said, just wait a minute, sister. When did this happen? She said, 8 years ago next Tuesday. I was appalled, he said, and I suppose she could tell I was because my mouth fell open and my eyes bugged out. And she said, no, don't misunderstand me. I've forgiven her, she said, but I'll never forget how that old devil, speaking of this other woman, treated me. Without thinking, I pointed my finger in her face and I said, sister, you're a bald-faced liar. She was stunned. I said, you haven't forgiven her because if you had forgiven her, you wouldn't still be talking about it. You see, love not only forgives, but it also forgets. God didn't say, I have forgiven you of your sin, but every time I get a chance, I'm going to remind you of them. No. If God did that, we'd all be in a mess. No, God canceled our sins because of Christ's substitutionary work on the cross. And God said in Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am he that blots out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. We know that God is love. And love says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more, in Hebrews 8 and 12. Well, what happens many times is that people let their heads dominate them instead of their hearts. But the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5 and 5, not in our heads. He said, my wife and I were holding a meeting once in the western part of the United States. And after the meeting, a young couple who were in the ministry invited us out to eat. And as we were seated in the restaurant, the woman said to me, Brother Hagin, you've got me confused. And she was referring to something I had said in the meeting. This woman said, in your message tonight, you mentioned 1 John 3:14-15. And when you got to the part where it says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And you said, and that also means whosoever hateth his mother-in-law too. I said, yes, I said that. I plead guilty. What's your problem? Why are you confused? Well, she said, I hate my mother-in-law. And I answered, I said, if you do, you don't have eternal life abiding, did you? She argued, but I got saved and was baptized in the Holy Ghost when I was just a little girl. Hagin said, I don't care how long you've been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I responded, if you hate your mother-in-law, You don't have eternal life abide, do you? That's what the Bible says. Now, I knew she didn't really hate her mother-in-law, and I knew she was saved and spirit-filled and that she loved God. I knew what had happened, but I just wanted her to see it. She had to let her head dominate her in this area. She had to let her head get between her and God, so to speak, and she had let the flesh take over. No, it wasn't a devil or a demon that had gotten a hold of her. It was just the flesh. And I said to this woman, look me right in the eye and say, I hate my mother-in-law. And at the same time, check up in your spirit. She looked me in the eye and said, I hate my mother-in-law. I asked her, I said, what happened on the inside of you? She said, there's something down there scratching me. Yes, I said, and that something is trying to get your attention. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, in your spirit. The love of God is trying to get your attention. She asked, what am I going to do? I said, act like you would if you did love her, because you do. You've got to let the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart express itself. And you do that by actions and by words. It's the same way with faith. Faith is of the heart. You could have a heart full of faith and still die of sickness or disease. Or you could have a heart full of faith and never get an answer to prayer. You've got to release your faith or express your faith. You've got to get that faith out of your heart and into expression. You've got to get your faith working and active. Well, how do you do that? Through actions and words. The mother of a 15-year-old boy stopped me after a meeting once and said to me, Brother Hagin, I want you to promise me something. What is it? I asked. She proceeded to explain that she was a widow who had only been saved a few years, and now her son, who wasn't raised in church, was having some problem. This mother said, I can't do a thing with him. He stays out late at night, sometimes as late as 4 o'clock in the morning. And I just lie awake at night and wait for the phone ringing, someone to tell me he'd been arrested. I want you to promise me that you'll pray for him every day until he gets saved. And I answered this woman, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to make such a promise because I'm not going to pray for him every day. Well, then just pray for him when you think about it, she said. I told her, I'm not even going to pray for him at all. Well, that shocked her, but I said it to get her attention. You're not? She asked. No, I said. In fact, I'm not going to pray one single prayer for him. I added, it wouldn't do any good even if I did pray. Well, what do you mean? She asked me with her. I said, it wouldn't do any good to pray as long as you keep condemning him. And I dare say that you probably hassle him at every meal and constantly try to poke religion down him and push Jesus off on him. This mother was stunned. How did you know I did that? She asked. Because of the way he turned out. I answered, you turned him off to the things of God by nagging at him. Now you promised me something. What is it? She asked. Promise me that from this day forward, you won't say one more word to him about Jesus. Don't nag at him. Don't invite him to go to church. Just act in love toward him. And when he's out at night, instead of lying awake and worrying, just say, Lord, I surround him with faith and love. No, I don't believe he's going to end up in a reform school or in a penitentiary. I believe he's going to serve God. She said, I'll try it. I said, trying it ain't going to work. Just do it. She said, all right, but you're still going to pray, aren't you? I said, no, I'm not going to pray at all. You're going to do it. It's not up to me. It's up to you. And I went back to the same city for a meeting 15 months later. And this same woman came up to me after the meeting and shook hands with me. And she said, do you remember me? She asked. About 15 months ago, I asked you to pray every day for my son. Well, I hadn't recognized this woman at first because she looked so different. She looked younger. She said, I did what you told me to do about my son. It was hard, but I did it. The woman went on to relate. About 6 months ago, my son came home at 4 o'clock one morning. It was Saturday night. On Sunday morning, I got up to make breakfast. before going to Sunday school and church, and my son got up and ate breakfast and said, "Mom, I believe I'll go with you to Sunday school and church this morning." And I acted as though I didn't care if he went to church or not. In fact, I said, "Are you sure you want to go this morning? You didn't get in until late this morning. You got school tomorrow. You need your rest, my son." And he said, "No, I want to go to church with you." Well, the next Saturday night, he did the same thing. He went to church that Sunday morning and again Sunday night. And Sunday night, when the altar call was given, he was born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. And the mother continued, "My son was living 100% for the devil, and now he's living 120% for God. I believe he's going to be a preacher. And I'm so glad I did what you told me to do. Not only do I have a brand new boy, but my son has a brand new mama. I don't ever worry about anything anymore because I learned how to pray in faith and to walk in love. And sometimes I have to pinch myself and say, is that really you? Because I think so differently now." It makes a lot of difference, friends, when you walk in love. When you walk in love, your faith will work. If my faith wasn't working, that's the first thing I would check up on to see if I was walking in love. And we know that faith works by love. In fact, faith won't work any other way. In other words, you can have faith to move mountains, but if you're not walking in love, your faith's going to be ineffective. You got to release the love of God from your heart in the same way you release your faith, through action and words. Because faith and love are of the heart, and faith works by love. Lord of God, that was a good one, wasn't it? Thank you, Jesus. I was riding down alongside of Katie's testimony, wasn't it? All right, anybody got any questions or any answers? Comments? Did you enjoy it, or did I just talk in vain? Okay, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It was good. I thought it was. It makes us realize, it made me realize, and I've known this, but sometimes we forget about things, don't we? And we let our mouth override what we should be doing. And we speak from the mind rather than the heart. Lord, I just thank you for placing it in everybody here and those that are listening also, that we would speak the word and the word only, that we would speak faith, continually speak faith for those that are in our families and those that we have bad mouthed before. And I thank you, Father, that we have changed and we're going to bring them in with the love and the faith that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Okay, I got a song. Y'all want to hear it? Okay. All right, let's see here. All right, it's ready. Bring that with you.
Victory.
God, thank you, Father. The battle belongs to you, Lord. Every one of them. All 7,338 of them. Praise God. Oh, yeah, Katie? Amen. Praise God. That's a good song. I like it myself. Oh, my. Excuse me. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? It's potpourri night. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I was, I think last weekend, I watched, my wife and I watched a movie about, was about the, oh, it was, I think it was called the Jesus Revolution. And, was about the Jesus, movement in the 70s. It was kind of interesting, in a way. Well, it was kind of interesting. That was kind of in my generation when, I remember when I was, in Oregon, right after high school, I decided to, hitchhike back to Idaho and visit some of my friends back there. So my mom took me out on the freeway. I was living in Salem, Oregon at the time. So my wife and my mom took me out to the freeway and dropped me off, and I started hitchhiking. I can't think about what my mom must have been freaking out at the time too, now that I think about that. But anyway, and I was out there trying to catch a ride, and a van full of hippies pulled over and snatched me up and took me up, through Portland, and then I jumped out and I started heading east towards Idaho. But they asked me if I wanted to go up to, it was something, a Jesus rally or something like that. Of course, I wasn't a Christian and wasn't looking to be one. And so I said, no, no, thanks. I don't want to do that. And, so they let me off and they kept on going or whatever. But later on, when I, in the 80s, when we were, my church that I was in at the time was a Baptist church, and we were seeking, our pastor was leading us in, a focus of seeking revival for ourselves. And, at that time, we didn't, we were praying for revival, and the last, revivals that we had heard about or read about were in, Finney's time in the 1800s, and early, maybe in the early 1900s. We didn't look into too much of the spirit-filled, the Azusa Street and that sort of thing wasn't even in our frequency range at that time. But anyway, I thought it was just kind of interesting. I watched that show, and it was about the starting of, I guess it was Calvary Chapel, church, Chuck Smith's church or whatever, and that the starting point of that. And it was kind of a time where there was a high spiritual intensity, I think, happening in that time. And there were people, and when I say spiritual, I say it was, people were looking for, for the spiritual side. It could have been the devil, and it could have been Jesus, and there was all kinds of, people were going into Eastern mysticism and, yoga and all kinds of stuff like that. But it was a very, I'm going to say, in spiritual, agitated time, I guess you might say. And people were seeking. I was seeking and didn't even know it at the time. So, but it was interesting. This, there was a guy that, I guess a hippie, you know, that came into this church. The pastor's daughter, met this guy and brought him into their church. And it was, you know, you could sit there and as you're watching the show and you had these, long haired, you know, Jesus freaks, I think is what they called them in those days, you know, barefooted and flowers in their hair and all that sort of stuff. And sitting right in on one side of the church and on the other side was the staunch, you know, suit and tie and people sitting in the pews and very, you know, was very, it was a definite mix there. Of course, there was a church split later or whatever. But the interesting thing about it was that after we were watching it, my wife looked up one of the individuals that when the hippie that was the kind of the starting point of all this sort of stuff. And he, having started this influence and everything started at that point and grew and just, you know, it kind of exploded and, you know, the church became big. And at some point, this guy left that church and went on. And we read, or she read that he had died after he was only 43 years old when he died, and he was caught in the homosexual lifestyle at that time. And yet he was the influence of this whole starting thing and whatever, and was really started, you know, the Jesus movement in those days. But I got to thinking about that afterwards, is that whole system, I think this was, you know, through a lot of, say, Billy Graham's type of influence, I guess you might say, but he, the system or the church in those days was very focused on evangelism, I think, and bringing people into the kingdom and, you know, the new birth process. And it was, I think the focus was on so much was more on the new birth, going out, bringing people in, baptizing them, which is all good. But that I think, or at least the way I was catching it is that there was probably a lack of discipleship and what happens after birth. After birth, that didn't sound too good, but happens after the born again experience, and the need to focus on the word, bring the word into your life, and focus upon on Jesus, the word, and discipleship, and working through, you know, walking through the wilderness that comes up in your life. And because the emphasis maybe was not on that, there were people that had struggles in their life but they had no way of addressing them. And I know when I was in the church, I used to get some kind of interesting information from my pastor that he said that in the school that he went to, they taught them, you know, to go out and be a pastor or whatever, start a church. But he says, one thing you have to realize is that, you know, you only have young converts for a couple of years, because after that, they start dropping away. So they geared up a whole, so because of that, they geared up a whole thing of, you know, get as much, get them into the ministry, get them working, get them doing their thing, get them in the bus ministry and you know, various different things in the church and keep them busy, because in a couple of years, they'll start dropping out. And at the time, I didn't realize what, you know, why that was. But it's usually, you know, in 6 months to a year, the honeymoon, shall we say, or the excitement of born again and that whole newness of life and everything. And then the Lord allows certain problems and issues and sins to come up, and then you start struggling, and some of the things that are coming out of you that the Word of God is bringing up out of you, you know, after about a year and a half or 2 years, you start to see these things, and you're looking then for deeper answers to these solutions. And if those in the church don't have the ability to lead you through those issues, then, you know, you're going to get discouraged and you're going to fall away, and you're going to, you know, look into other sources of power or whatever it would be. And I just felt that this guy, who the Lord got a hold of, no doubt about it, when he was, I don't know his previous story or whatever, but he came into this church and he was on fire for the Lord, and he, you know, he brought in a different influence of that time of the Lord, and mercy and love and acceptance and all this. Yet he was a victim of the lack of moving on and continuing on with Jesus, and confronting his own inner issues, I guess you might say. And I don't think he had somebody to lead him through that process. And as I get to thinking about it, you know, I'm so grateful to the Lord, because he's really led me. I mean, led me here to UBM, and has allowed me, I know, through my life, just to focus on him and to work through these details that he brings up in my life. And I remember when back when I was younger, and I was starting with, you know, we moved to Oklahoma at the time, and I thought, you know, I was educated or went to school for electronics, and, you know, I wanted to, going, you know, into computers and this and that and whatever. And I asked the Lord, when he brought me out of, back, you know, up to Oklahoma, and I asked him, you know, should I look for work in that field? And he basically said no. And he went to, and I started working as a carpenter. And I didn't really want to work in that type of bit, you know, in that type of business. But I said, you know what, Lord, you choose the direction and I'll go there, you know, I'll do it. So I didn't particularly feel led to do that, but you know, come through life, that was one of the best choices that I made, really, because it allowed me to move into avenues and into I'm going to say management or leading people, and being able to see reactions and how to influence people, how to talk with people and everything like that. The Lord has definitely used it in my life and used it to bring things out in me that that I would have never probably had to encounter. But I'm kind of rattling now, but I just saw that the system, how the victims are picked off by the system that doesn't have the ability to address their inner issues or provide the help that they need. So I just pray that the Lord gives us all wisdom, and I think he has, and raises our perspective. And Father, I thank you that you open up our eyes, you lead us and you guide us through this process, for you have a better and a bigger picture in mind. I thank you that you have the vision and that you give us, share with us your vision, Lord, and that you lead us along and bring us in the path that sometimes we're not sure about. But every path that you lead us down, Lord, you give us grace to walk in it, and you have reasons for doing it. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you brought us together and that you have opened up our eyes. You've shown us a new world and a new life in you, Lord. We just ask that you give us grace to pursue you even farther and bring others into this relationship with you as well. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I sent you a link to something. I think it's probably the same fellow you're talking about there, Pat. All right. Julie sent it to me, and I sent it, I forwarded it on to you. All right.
Yeah, that was him.
Is that him? Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
Matt, did you meet him? Were you there at the time when he was in that church? When those hippies picked you up?
No, I didn't even know about it, quite frankly. It was later on in years, as I look back at that time. There was actually I believe there was a revival going on in Portland at that time. And it was just kind of funny that I just kind of brushed right on Austin on my way to Idaho, you know. But it was cool.
Watch that video on that guy's life. It was very interesting. And And you touched on a lot of things that, yeah, he was not treated right. But, you know, God's grace and mercy and forgiveness and all that. But he definitely had a real anointing on him. He was definitely...
Yeah, it showed where he was in when he was in the church, and he was preaching, and of course they still had you know, a bunch of the old guard, I guess you might say, in the church and whatever. And, oh, and they had it. He was in a tent meeting, and he stopped in the middle of his preaching, and he said, you know, somebody here. I can see somebody here has some sort of an illness or whatever it was. And then he looked around the, audience and saw her, this girl lady, and went over to her and talked to her. And, you know, so you could see in the movie that he was starting to follow the Spirit and bring some things in that, it was probably fairly foreign to that group at that time, you know. But, and so I suspect that maybe that was part of the schism. Maybe they were thinking, you know, he was getting a little bit too far out there or something. But who knows?
It sounds like he was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Could have been, yeah.
Thanks, God. All right. Anybody else? I think I've seen that YouTube thing there before. What y'all want to talk about? This potpourri night. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I'd like to share something I believe the Lord showed me today. I asked the Lord for a verse of how to pray for someone. And the Lord gave me, where it says about that, how this young girl asked for the head of John the Baptist. And I'm like, at first I'm like, huh? And the more I thought about it, and I thought, you know, what the Lord showed me was this, that the enemy is trying to cut off the head of the spirit of repentance. Does that make sense? And I don't believe it's just for this person. I think there's, that's what the enemy's trying to do in a lot of people's lives. You know, that the Lord is, you know, it's like, you know, Satan, accusing the brethren before God day and night, you know? And that rejection. A lot of God's people don't know how to deal with that. You know, a lot of, and not even just God's people that are backslidden, the prodigal sons, but also those that have not even repented yet. You know, there's such a spirit of acute accusation and condemnation and rejection, or God will never accept you. And it keeps a person from repentance, you know. They think they're too far gone, and, you know, that God couldn't save them, and that God doesn't love them, and so on and so forth. So I'd like to pray about that. I've prayed about it myself, and I'd like some anybody else wants to pray about that and do some warfare against that. I just you know, and once again, you know, it's about casting Satan down, casting the dragon to the earth that is accusing. And we just cut off the head of the serpent in the name of Jesus instead. And I just want to say this. No, I don't. The only thing I pay attention to is just I don't really watch it. I might catch some pieces of it, but the World Series and the Super Bowl always get my attention about the teams that are playing. And it was the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Texas Rangers that win the World Series. Texas Rangers won the first game, Diamondbacks won the second game, and then the Rangers won the next three games. So the conclusion was last night, you know, and I just look at the Diamondbacks as Satan, you know, and the Rangers are the police force, the, you know, Texas Rangers. They're the ones that bring forth justice. Praise you, God. And I just declare and decree that the head of the serpent is cut off in the name of Jesus. And any attempts of the enemy, whatever their plots and schemes are in coming against those who are God's elect, whether they know it or not, we just cut the head of the serpent off and declare and decree that the enemy is defeated and God's elect will repent and believe, whether it be initial being born again or come back to the Lord, that they'll just come running back, Lord, just like the prodigal son, they'll get so sick and tired of being sick and tired of feeding their flesh, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Father, for bringing the prodigal sons back and bringing our children and our family in that don't know you yet, Lord, that it's never repented and believed in you yet. And I just, I thank you, Lord. Send forth spirit of repentance in a mighty force, Lord. Send forth your angels to cast down the serpent and cut his head off. That's preventing this. We declare victory in the mighty name of Jesus. And our family are coming in. Those that are backslidden, that are your elect, they're coming back to you, Lord. And we just praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Father. I hook my faith up with Miss Him. I believe it's all done. In Jesus' name. Maybe anybody else along those same lines, just pray. Okay, I'm here to declare by the Spirit of the Lord that the chains of hindrances are breaking off of everybody here right now in the name of Jesus, that the covenant that have been initiated within your life, even through your dreams, unknowingly or knowingly, are being broken right now in the name of Jesus. And I want everybody to repeat after me if you will to. Listen. Father, in the name of Jesus, let every power of the enemy that's overshadowing my life, keeping me from walking in the fullness of what God has called me to, be removed in the name of Jesus. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I renounce every claim of the enemy. I renounce the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of this life. And I renounce ungodliness. I renounce every spirit, every spot and wrinkle of this world, anything that's keeping me from operating at full capacity in the Lord. And I ask you to remove it from me right now in the name That's above every name. That's the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Y'all believe that? It's done. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Everything that has hindered our walk, be gone. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Woohoo. I feel relief already. Glory to God. I feel like something has lifted off of me. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I feel like I might just float right out of here. Come get me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I got to be checking on David about every hour just because I think he's fixing to float out of here. Because when he goes, I'm right after him. He goes first. Y'all do too. Some of y'all be going too. Y'all be saying, I'm going too. Glory to God. Amen. How many of you know that resurrection power is powerful? The power of the universe. Oh, glory to God. I feel something stirring in the spirit. Y'all feel it? Get saved if you don't. I'm just saying. I'm just kidding you now. Y'all know better than that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? It's going to be a short night. Anybody got any questions they'd like to ask? Any answers? Just anything. Because I'm not, I don't have anything on tonight. Other than what I've already shared. You know something? I'll tell you, let me just clue you in on something. Angelica sent me a short. You know what I'm talking about when I say a short, a YouTube short from UBM? We've got a whole bunch of them on site. Is anybody, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about so I can. Okay, so everybody knows what I'm talking about. And it was on the chapter 4, a little short thing. I don't know, gosh, it wasn't more than a couple of minutes long, that David, she had made out David talking about faith. And boy, it just got me so stirred up. I said, shoot, I need to go check that out. And it was in the fourth chapter of The Real Good News. And I went back on it. It took me right to it. And I listened to it, and then I started reading it also. That's what those little shorts do. They get you intrigued into what God's doing, you know. It's really neat. It's really neat how those things work. She's really good at it. Any of y'all go through those? Any of them? Yeah, Pat.
So I'm looking here. Actually, I was trying to find those the other day, but, I'm looking here on the site, and I don't see where, I don't see any links to it.
Oh, that's a Julie question.
I don't know.
It's on YouTube is where it is.
So it's, we don't have
it's on UBM, UBM, Unleavened Bread Ministries YouTube.
Okay. And there isn't a link on the main website to that?
No, there's, okay. There's not? Okay. Well, there should be.
Okay. Yeah, I think it should be. So we just go to YouTube, UBM YouTube.
Okay. I think Judy's going to get the link for you. Maybe.
Okay.
There it is. Yeah. And gosh, they just started this just maybe a couple of months ago. And they've already got, gosh, a bunch of them up there. And they've gotten what's happening. I don't know if I should say this now, but I think I'll just keep quiet. But There's some hindrances to it. Not by ours, but, you know, the enemy. All right.
Yeah, I always thought that was a good idea for the shorts. I haven't actually seen them. I'll have to go on that, on the website, but I know that, a lot of times you have a couple minutes where you can scan through emails or scan through a Telegram or something like that. And you can click on something and watch something for 2 or 3 minutes because you have the time. And, it's just the idea is a good idea, I think, because you click on that. Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to tell you is, and these girls that tell you that are doing these, I think Angelica's the only one doing them now, but you go on there, you like it. You know how you like it with the thumbs up thing. And also you share it and subscribe if you're not subscribed. And that helps the viewership of it. Yeah, and comment on the shorts too. I had never done that. I guess I better look at that. Is that down at the bottom? Okay. Okay, Judy. Well, I'm not. Well, anyway, yes, I am. Jesus' name. Yeah, I understand that. It's really neat, though. I like them. And they're, you know, they're only 2 or 3, 4 minutes long. They're not very long at all. But they are very, they draw you in. They'll draw you in to won't make you want to go in and listen to what David's got to say. And now on that particular one, I forget the name of it, but David looks like he's about 40 years old. Looks like a young man. He's got sandy hair. Dishwater, he's a dishwater brown headed guy. Light brown. So I had to go on and look at him and see how he's going to look when he comes back. Yeah. Who are you? What are you doing in my house? Get out of here. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for these times ahead. Yeah, Debbie.
I've been thinking about something maybe to discuss. It's a question I have. It's like, I've heard Chuck often say about press in our worship time, press in and press in. And I want to understand really what that is. I mean, you're worshiping and focusing on him. So,
bingo.
What do y'all think that press in really means? I really want to understand more about.
You just said it.
Pressing in. Focusing on him.
Focusing on the Lord when you're praising God, getting in the spirit with the Lord. Pressing in.
Okay. Okay. I just know if there's more to it that I just, so I should be reaching that I'm not, you know.
Well, are you reaching him? If you're not reaching him, you need to get saved. You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean, another way of reaching. Further, deeper.
Yeah. No, you got it. You got it. Just pressing in by the Spirit, you know.
Okay.
Getting in the Spirit. Pressing in. So, you know how we do sometimes? We come in and we just kind of lax out and just get comfortable rather than pressing in. I'm speaking for Michael. Sometimes.
Yeah. Seeking him. What he wants, even during.
Yeah.
During praise, and there's a silence part, and the music is still playing, but then he's like, I'm going to press in. Yeah. And I just don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do to press in. Lord, I guess, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you right now.
We can't get any more here. We already got him.
I know.
He wants more of us.
Yeah. I mean,
praise God. Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Okay.
Yeah. I was telling somebody the other day. Well, I guess it was at the book study, wasn't it, Debbie? That song, More of You, More Love, More Power, More of You. Well, that's what he's telling us. That's not us telling him. We got all of him that we need. All we need to do is get rid of us and let him come on out.
Amen.
We don't have, we can't get any more of God than he's already given us. He's given us himself. He gave his life for us. And all we need to do is allow him to take us away from it. Us, that flesh, let that flesh go and the world go from us. Like we prayed about earlier tonight, it's about getting distracted. That's just our flesh most of the time. I know it is in my walk.
Yeah, I think pressing in, not just at a worship point, but during our days.
Yeah.
I know I need to press in more. Yeah. The giving more over to him instead of letting things take my time and attention and yeah. That I understand pressing in that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're right. That's it. It's got to be a 24/7 deal, you know, where we do it all the time. Just like Jesus did, you know. Here's the thing. If you remember, Jesus would be out there talking to thousands out there, and then all of a sudden, he'd just turn around, walk off, and go up and pray. He'd go pray. That's what he'd do. He'd just, thousands out there needing healing. He turns around and goes off and pray. Well, why? Because he knew what was important. And what was important was his contact with the Lord God.
He was seeking his Father.
Yeah,
so I want to do that Father. More. To seek him more.
Yeah. When we hear something that's hard for a lot of people, and that is just sitting still and listening. It's hard for me a lot of times because I've always been real active, you know, going here and doing this, doing that, you know, and everything, getting distracted here and getting distracted there and doing this, I got to go do this, you know, instead of just say, hey, wait a minute, what's important? I need to know what my Father wants me to do. And when we come to that conclusion that God is the most important thing that we need to listen to, then that's when we'll walk as a son of God and a daughter of God. Be led by the Spirit, but you'll be led by the Spirit of God all the time.
Yes.
As you read and study the Word of God, and that's part of it. But also, what's real important is abiding in him as you pray and talk to him and to listen. You can talk to him, but you also have to listen to see what he has to tell you. That's what I want. That's what we all want. But do we want it to the point of where it takes most of our time? I'll tell you something, what I'm seeing with David. Here just in the last month, maybe 2 months, he's 24/7, he's talking to God. Talking to God, talking to God, talking to God. talking to angels, talking to God, getting directions from God, asking God questions all the time, in the Word, all of that. Now, I understand he's been at it for 50 years. 51 years. And we've only been at it, you know, I don't know, I've only been at it for 25. But 25 should be enough, shouldn't it? It ought to be plenty.
Amen. Well, I'd like to pray then. Can I pray?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. I ain't turning down. Nobody wants to pray.
Well, Lord, I pray that you would have all of us ask you, Lord, and show us how we can press into you more, Lord, and get more of you, Lord. We know that spending time with you and getting into your word, that then, Lord, show us where we are lacking and what is the things that are keeping us from doing that, Lord, and that we would put those things aside and yeah. Be bold and just shoving them aside and finding out how to press into you, just spending time with you, Lord, and speaking to you, Lord. I just bringing this up because that's what I know. It's what I really need more of, Lord God, to really press into you and seek you more, God, and just see more of you in my life, active in my life, Lord God, because I'm getting more of you is by filling up with you, Lord God. I pray you help us all to center in that, Lord, to know what it really means to press into you and give ourselves over to you more, Lord God, and I thank you that you will show each of us, Lord, to how to do that, and Lord, how to set our time, Lord God, things that are important, Lord, and need to be done, but to know that you are the one that is most important, Lord, and we would just die to these other things, Lord, that want to take place. That most important time is spending time with you, Lord. I just pray you'll help us all to learn to press into you more, Lord, and help me, Lord, help me to do this, Lord. I just want to confess that I've been letting too many things take my time, Lord, and thinking of myself, getting more of my sleep that I think I need, and I really have been lacking in spending a lot of time in prayer with you, Lord, and that is another good way to press into you, Lord. So Jesus did, Lord. He pressed into you in prayer. And I ask you to help each of us, Lord God, to press into you more, Lord, and to walk deep in you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Help us all, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Amen. For all of us. Let us be aware and understand what's important now. It's not important to entertain ourselves. It's more important to entertain you. Thank you, Father. Lord of God. Thank you, Debbie. Yeah. All right. Okay. Anybody else? Amen. Yeah, go ahead, one of y'all. Okay.
I just like to pray too.
Yeah.
Father, I just thank you and praise you, Father. We just thank you and praise you, Father, that we have an open heaven, that we come to you, we come to the throne of grace. And Father, that we never take that for granted. We never have to sit out in the waiting room. We don't have to take a number. You're never on vacation. You're never out to lunch. And Father, I just thank you and praise you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Father, we just thank you and praise you that to the praise of the glory of his grace, we are accepted in the beloved.
Yes.
And Father, that you are, you're giving us more and more that spirit of wisdom and spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ. And Christ is, as it says there in the first few verses of the first chapter of John, he's all truth and all grace. Christ in us, all truth and all grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ in us. Christ working with us, confirming the word with signs and wonders and miracles. And Father, I just pray tonight an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us to refresh us, to renew us, to revive us, to restore us, Father, to strengthen us in the inner man. Strengthen us in the inner man, loving Father, that we grow not weary in well-doing, that we walk worthy of the vocation under which we have been called, that we are strengthened to press on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Father, just the power of your grace to help us to be long-suffering, maturing the fruit of the Spirit through obedience to the Word. We abide in Christ and we bear forth the fruit of Christ. And Father, you are the one that is preparing these wineskins for the new wine. Without the proper preparation, the wineskin's going to burst and the wineskin would be ruined and the wine would all spill out and be ruined. That's what your word says. And Father, as you've been talking to me about that in my prayer time and also Father, just trusting you, Father, that you're the potter and we're the clay and to patiently allow you to do the work in us that needs to be done. And certainly most assuredly that we must decrease so that Christ can increase in us. Father, you see the yearning of our hearts. Everybody here has a heart to go on all the way with Jesus. To seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And Father, I believe you were telling me the other day that just even the desire for that, the yearning for that, that in itself is a prelude to the manifestation of it. And Father, even the desire for it is a gift from you. Father, help us, train us, teach us what it really means to delight ourselves in you. Because your word says if we delight in you, you will give us the desires of our heart. And Father, I know for everybody here, the true desire of our heart is to be filled with the light of the love of Jesus, what we have so freely received that it freely flows out of us, the life, the love, the compassion, the grace, the forgiveness, and the wisdom, and even the healing power of God our Father. Because it flows through the Spirit of Christ in us. So, Father, we thank you for these days of preparation. We thank you. Help us to just be patient. Because, Lord, it's coming. You've promised it, and your word cannot fail. It cannot fail. And, Lord, I just love everybody here. I know we all love one another. It's the love of Christ. We are joined with Christ Jesus and we are one spirit individually and corporately. You're teaching us what it means to come into one accord and to be led of your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let that be for all of us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, Marilyn was praying. The Lord gave me a vision of a big hose pipe with a big stream of water coming out. That's while she was praying.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Who wants to get in that water? Come on, Lord. Come
amen,
on,
amen,
Lord.
Amen,
Glory
amen,
to
amen.
God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Fill us, Lord, with your presence. Thank you, Lord. How many of you got that little booklet I sent out to you some time back called The Secret of Answered Prayer? Okay. Why did you read it? Okay. Well, I'm just asking. Some people do, some people don't. It's a real good little old booklet. It talks, and this guy, the guy that wrote this is a pastor. I think he's in Africa somewhere. It's E.A. Adebayo, something like that. I can't pronounce it, but anyway. Very good. Very good. Thing. And his main, focus is on praising God, thanking God for everything. Everything. Even that your eyes are open. Even that you're breathing. You know, and it's a great little booklet. And he starts out with the prayer on the first page. Do y'all mind if I read it again? Cause it's a good little prayer. It kind of lifts you up. I don't care if you mind anyway. I'm going to read it anyway. How's that? All right. Thank you, Debbie. All right. He says, let's lift our hands to the Almighty God and begin to bless his holy name. Let's bless the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bless the great I am that I am. Bless the all-sufficient God. Bless the one who can answer all prayers. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration and lift him high tonight. Worship the Ancient of Days. Bless the unchangeable Lord. Glorify his holy name. He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. Bless him. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Praise him tonight. Worship him. Magnify his holy name. There's no one like him. Praise him tonight. Give him all glory. Give him all honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And he says, I want you to lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, this month, like you have never done before, answer my prayers speedily. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Lift your voice to him and say, Father, let this month be a month of double blessing for me. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Lift your voice to him and say, Father, anyone I witness to this month, let him or her receive Jesus immediately. My relatives, my family, my coworkers, even my enemies, anyone that I witness to, let him or her receive Jesus instantly. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, this month, every door I knocked at, let it be open wide. Unto me, in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. He said, I want you to join hands with your neighbor. Give me your hand over here, Ben. Give me a hand, Joe. With your neighbor and pray for your neighbor. Say, Father, every request of this, your child tonight, Lord, turn to a testimony speedily. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Singing. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Almighty God, Ancient of Days, the Rock of Ages, the Holy One of Israel, the unchangeable changer, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the one who is, the one who has, who is, and the one who was, and the one who is to come. The Almighty, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, glory be to your holy name. Father, glory be to your holy name. Thank you for January. Thank you for February. Thank you for March. And it goes all the way through. And glory be to your holy name. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Give honor to it, right? Give honor to the Lord. Glory be to God. Just focus on the Lord. He is good. He is gracious. You know what's, Pat, what's interesting to me is that, a lot of the denominations that most of us went into when we first got saved, don't believe in what Paul told us through all the epistles. They don't believe that. They don't believe in the power of God in us. They don't believe in the authority that he's given us, and they don't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost to lead and teach us the things that we need to know. The thing that they do is everything they know is by the sense, by the flesh, the five senses. That's all they know. They don't have the experience of the Holy Spirit to bring them into that realm of wanting to know more. And that's why they fall away so much, so quickly. A lot of times, I was thinking about that a while ago. I said, yeah, because they don't have the Holy Ghost. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Man, when I got the Holy Spirit, that just changed everything. Didn't it in y'all's life? It just changed everything. Everything changed to me drastically. Glory to God, man, I felt like Jesus there for about 4 hours when I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was great. And it's something that we should be feeling like all the time, you know. And we get these little places here, little places there, places here where we get filled and, oh, it's just awesome, you know. And the Lord feel like that old dog eating that dog biscuit floats up in the air, that commercial, you know. Y'all remember that? And that's God. That's God, you know. Thank you, Jesus, for making me feel so light. Feel like I can come up there to you right now. Bring me, Lord. You know, beam me up. And all this kind of feelings. And then we get in, then we allow the day to wear on and wear us down. And if we just keep our eyes, and I'm talking to me, talking to myself, if I just keep my eyes focused on the Lord, we stay in that realm of being with the Lord at all times, 24/7. I'm believing. Y'all believe that? I believe if we keep focused on the Lord all day long and make him our number one priority. Oh, hang on, David. Hang on, David. I've got, give me another hour and a half. I'm right in the middle of something with the Lord here. That's what's important to you. That's what has to be important. I know some of you work, you can't just shut things down, but you do have time that you can. We sacrifice our time for him. He'll help you out. Yeah, Pat.
You know, Michael, I think that I know that when way back when I read that book from Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God, and it just made brought to my mind or brought into my awareness that you can have that presence with you all the time, even in the workday or even in, you know, even working through the process, you know. It was like I started to think. I don't know what the Lord did at that time, but for a while I had the ability to, as I was learning this, that to walk through the day, even doing my, you know, my, my work, but yet look through the Lord's eyes, I guess, is the only thing I could say, is that that you, everything that you experienced was a conversation with the Lord. And I know that that happened, you know, back in my earlier Christian experience. And somehow I drifted away from that, or I lost that, because I mean, I'll go to work now and my mind is just consumed with where I'm at now. So I think I would like to pray and ask the Lord to bring us back into that experience, and to, if there are those that haven't had that experience, Lord, that you would bring that to us, that you would give us the ability to focus upon you and carry on that constant conversation with you, even through our work day. And even though the problems that we face and the complications and the things that we have to figure out and the things that we have to think about and all of these things, Lord, and the technologies and the websites that we have to search and all of that, that we could do it in your presence, and that we could do it with our eyes upon you and our heart upon you. And Lord, I just ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and bring us into that place, into that heavenly place right here, each and every one of us, in our work day and in our regular day, Lord, that you would just be with us and show us how to, as Debbie says, press into you and to be in you, even in this work day and this time of all the complications and the structure and the constant thinking about work and solving problems and all that. Lord, that we can be in your presence. And I thank you for it, Lord, because I know that you have done it and can do it and will do it. And so I just trust you for that, Lord, to separate us unto yourself. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and grant us that grace to be in your presence all through the day. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, do that for us. We thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? We got a pop blessing this weekend. Anybody will come down. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be so good. Yeah, go ahead, Lana.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to share something sweet that my boys said the other day. Well, maybe it wasn't sweet, but I definitely didn't teach them this. This comes kind of, I guess, with the lifestyle we live. Yeah, I guess you'll catch my drift here in a moment. So Max and Theo were fussing over some toys in their room, and Max was not going to let Theo play with his toy. And a few minutes later, I hear them calm down, and I hear Theo say, "Hey, Max, did you change your mind? Can I play with your airplane?" And Max responds and says, "Yes, Theo, I changed my mind. It's called double-mindedness because I changed my mind." So we wrote that down and quoted it as honest math.
Oh gosh, that's awesome. Your boys are listening, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
That is so cool. That was Max that said that?
Yeah, he was being honest. Changed his mind. It was double-minded.
Oh, my gracious. That's awesome. You got to say her that Saturday. Oh, my. Boy, I tell you what, those kids tickle me, the stuff they come up with. About God, you know? Things of God, yeah. It's awesome. All right, anyone else? It's called double-mindedness. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Your boys are a hoot. Hey, Larry, how you doing, brother? He probably running back to the computer or his phone. What was that? What was that, Andrew? Look, here it comes again. Oh, my. That takes me back to that movie about the lion. You remember that one, don't you? With the, what's his name? Robert Duvall. And, what's the British guy's name? Flying that airplane. stuck it in the barn. And when he died. Oh, my. Thank you, Father. All right, what's next? Anybody got a favorite verse they'd like to share? Well, we have some great man-child verses this morning. One of them was real good at Isaiah. Forget which one it was. Good one. Yeah, Pat.
I woke up this morning with.
Praise God.
Yeah, I thought so too. the Lord just gave me two words or a few words. Fellowship of his sufferings. And so, when I got out of the shower and got down to, read, I opened it up, found out where it was at. And it's about, it's in Philippians, 3. So I'm going to just read those verses, but I thought they were pretty good. I didn't have time to really think a lot about them, but there's a lot in there. Philippians 3:8 says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I think this is, this must be King James Version or something. And he found and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And I don't really have anything to say about it. There's just so much in there that that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And there's got to be something that the Lord is taking us through. And those sufferings of battling or dealing with the flesh, dealing with the world, and dealing with all of the opposition and everything that's coming at us. But being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So I just thought it was worth meditating on and thinking about and pondering all those thoughts that those raise up. I know that even the first verse there, I count all things as a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And when you think about Paul, he was living his own life. He was, going through, he was making his way, creating his name as Saul of Tarsus or whatever, as a Pharisee and going out to correct all these Christians that had lost their way and had turned away from the word of God. And then on that trip to Damascus and that light hitting him, his whole life was shattered and changed and on that road. And it led him, that led him through a time or a place, or he doubtless counted all things but loss in order to find Christ. And look at all the things that Paul suffered. He goes through the litany of, being lost, being lost in the deep, being beaten, three or four times, 40 times. And he goes through a whole list of stuff that he suffered for Christ. And all that process, all that suffering, that God uses that to bring us to a place of death to self and his process of bringing us into that resurrection life of Christ. And I'm just listening to, reading these things and thinking about that. About that resurrection life, a different, and we have that resurrection life now. It's like when you started tonight, and you were giving the example of having something in your mind and having something in your heart. And that which you have in your heart overrides and can override what's in your mind, as long as you focus upon that which is in your heart, which I thought was, it was kind of interesting. It reminded me of Hebrews 4:12, where God's word separates us, soul and spirit, mind and spirit, mind and heart. But that resurrection life has already been given to us. So we're caught someplace in between there, when I think that God has to take us through this suffering of and bringing us through this, being conformed to his death, in order to bring us into that awareness, or bring that out of us, you know. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that those verses that kind of hit me this morning.
That's a good verse. Amen. Okay, we're about out of time here. I'd like to pray for my middle daughter, Allison. Father God, I lift up Allison to you. Lord, the Lyme doctor says that she's got a cyst on her pancreas and one in her lungs. I count that as null and void. I cast that down. She don't have no cyst in her body at all. In the name of Jesus, I command them to leave her body right now in Jesus' name. And I command, Lord, that you would bind her tongue from speaking otherwise, and the doctors too, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, when the doctors go back in there, they're going to find nothing. They're going to take another CAT scan, and they're not going to find nothing in there. They're going to tell her to go home. And she's going to keep her mouth shut about what it is. Because, Lord, as you know, she's always looked for stuff to be wrong in her body. And I thank you, Father, for changing her mindset to the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, for granting repentance to her and bringing her into the kingdom as well. In Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father. And I break the power of Satan off of her right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, she is healed, delivered, and set free by the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And I believe it. Amen. Mighty woman of God. All right. Yeah, Missy.
I command spirit of hypochondriac off of Allison in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
In the mighty name of Amen. Jesus.
Amen.
That she is no longer in bondage to that. And the spirits that speak to her all the time, in her mind, that she's got this and she's got that, you shut your mouth in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
She is free from all curses, and she has the health of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God, it's done. All right. Anything else before we close out tonight? It's been very interesting, actually. Oxford. Lord, thank you for another good evening. We praise you, Father, that you're going to be with us in the days ahead, and that our eyes are going to be focused on you, Lord. We're going to be led by your Spirit, and we're going to be doing the things that you want us to do. And when we're led by the Spirit, Lord, we're going to be exactly as you ask us to do. People will see the light and come to Jesus because of it. And not only that, signs and wonders will follow us as we walk this walk of bringing the kingdom of heaven onto earth in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for doing that in all of us. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Y'all be blessed.